Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you can be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Continuing our look at the book Saints, The Standard of Truth. It is volume one of a soon-to-be four-volume set. Volume one deals with the time period of 1815 to 1846. It's published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as we've been saying in this series, we do admit that there are a lot of things that the church is now officially admitting that it certainly didn't admit in a lot of the earlier years. Today, we're going to be talking about what I think is a pretty embarrassing section in Mormon history, and it has to do with a sexual relationship that Joseph Smith had with a young girl. The book talks about, in chapter 25, beginning on page 286, the chapter titled Move On to the West talks about some of the dissension that was going on in the LDS Church and how some people were starting to doubt Joseph Smith's leadership. One of those was Oliver Cowdery. Oliver Cowdery was related to Joseph Smith, and he is one of the three witnesses who testify to the authenticity of the Book of Mormon. It mentions on page 290 that Oliver had become uncomfortable with Joseph taking a more active role in local economics and politics. Both he and David Whitmer, another one of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon, the president of the church in Missouri, felt that Joseph was exerting too much influence over temporal matters in his role as prophet. But another subject is going to come up that's going to cause Oliver even more concern, and we find this mentioned at the bottom of that same page, 290.
Oliver's falling out with the prophet went beyond disagreements over how to lead the church. Since learning about plural marriage during his inspired translation of the Bible, Joseph had known that God sometimes commanded his people to practice the principle. Joseph had not acted on this knowledge immediately, but a few years later, an angel of the Lord had commanded him to marry an additional wife.
Now, let me stop you there, because it talks about Joseph Smith working on his inspired translation of the Bible. This would later come to be known as the Joseph Smith translation. Smith claimed he was commanded by God to bring forth a new translation of the Bible because, after all, Mormons have been led to believe that the Bible has been mistranslated over the years. It's been corrupted and cannot be trusted fully. This took place between 1830 and 1833, but when it mentions how Joseph had known that God sometimes commanded his people to practice the principle, what would be this principle? The principle of plural marriage. Eric, the fact is, there's nowhere in the Bible that says God commanded anybody to practice plural marriage. So this book is just fostering a lie that has been told to the LDS people for years and years.
You can read into the Bible, but it certainly never says that the patriarchs were supposed to have done that. In fact, every time you see polygamy being practiced, it seems like it leads to disaster for the people and for the leaders who do that. And I think it's a wrong way of trying to interpret the Old Testament to say that God ever commanded it. Where does it command it?
It doesn't. Where it says that Joseph had not acted on this knowledge immediately, but a few years later, an angel of the Lord had commanded him to marry an additional wife. It's going to talk about in the next paragraph how Joseph Smith was reluctant to do this. And isn't that so typical of a false leader to act like, well, God's commanding me to do something I really don't want to do? And we have this story of an angel appearing to Joseph Smith with a flaming sword that his life was going to be taken if he doesn't enter into this doctrine of plural marriage. What does it say in the next paragraph?
After receiving the commandment, Joseph struggled to overcome his natural aversion to the idea. He could foresee trials coming from plural marriage, and he wanted to turn from it. But the angel urged him to proceed, instructing him to share the revelation only with people whose integrity was unwavering. The angel also charged Joseph to keep it private until the Lord saw fit to make the practice public through his chosen servants.
Now notice the secrecy going on here. We can't make this public. We're going to give you this secret doctrine, Joseph, but don't tell anybody. Keep it only among those who trust you, and of course, among those that you trust. Now in the next paragraph, it's going to introduce Fanny Alger. Now, there's a lot of controversy as to how she pronounces her name. Some say it's Alger, some say it's Alger. Brian Hales, who's written extensively on the subject of polygamy and is an LDS author, he said that her name may have been even pronounced Alger. So if we mess up and pronounce it one of three ways, please give us a little grace because we really don't know how she pronounces it.
And this is what it says. During the years Joseph lived in Kirtland, a young woman named Fanny Alger worked in the Smith home. Joseph knew her family well and trusted them. Her parents were faithful saints who had joined the church in his first year.
Now, we should mention that at this time, Fanny is how old, Eric? She's 16, right?
Yes, right.
16. Joseph Smith would be how old at this time?
27.
27. This is a 27-year-old going after a 16-year-old. Today, we would call a person like that perhaps a sexual predator. And Joseph Smith certainly had that kind of a characteristic that I think that title would have been correct.
And remember, he's married to Emma, so he's supposed to be faithful to her, and here he is going after another woman. Following the Lord's command, Joseph proposed marriage to Fanny with the help of Levi and the approval of her parents.
Now, let me stop you there. What kind of parents would approve of such a relationship? As you've said, Joseph Smith is a married man. He's 27 years old. He has a wife. What kind of parents would allow or approve of their 16-year-old daughter marrying such an individual like this? You know what this shows me, Eric? It shows what kind of a strange power Joseph Smith had over those who were following him. And as we can see, this can be awfully dangerous when you look upon a person with that kind of trust that you as a parent would give your 16-year-old daughter over in marriage to a 27-year-old married man. Now, remember, this is during the Victorian era. This is the 19th century. This isn't the 21st century where it seems like any type of sexual perversion is a go. It wasn't like that at this time. But yet here you have parents apparently saying, that's okay. Go ahead, marry our daughter, even though you're married. Who cares? Well, not only that, it goes on in the next sentence to say that Fanny accepted Joseph's teachings and his proposal, and her uncle performed the ceremony. Her uncle is introduced in a previous paragraph. That was Levi Hancock. So the whole family of hers seems to be involved in approval of this.
Goes on page 291, since the time had not come to teach plural marriage in the church, Joseph and Fanny kept their marriage private, as the angel had instructed. But rumor spread among some people in Kirtland. By the fall of 1836, Fanny had moved away.
On page 292, it says Oliver was deeply critical of Joseph's relationship with Fanny, although how much he knew about it is unclear. What Emma knew about the marriage is also uncertain. In time, Fanny married another man and lived apart from the main body of the saints. Now, there's a story that goes with this, and it's how Emma caught her husband, Joseph Smith, with Fanny in a barn. And this story comes from Oliver Cowdery. How does that story go, Eric?
Well, this is from Mormon Polygamy, written by Richard S. Van Wagner, and this is page 5. And he writes that if Smith did take a plural wife in Kirtland during the early 1830s under such a system, the woman was likely Fanny Alger. McClellan's 1872 letter described Alger's relationship with Smith.
Now, we should mention that this is speaking of William McClellan, who was, I guess you could say, in the inner circle of Joseph Smith at the time.
And he wrote, again, I told your mother that I heard that one night she missed Joseph and Fanny Alger. She went to the barn and saw him and Fanny in the barn together alone. She looked through a crack and saw the transaction. She told me the story, too, was verily true. And then he continues and says, McClellan also detailed the Alger incident to a newspaper reporter for the October 6, 1875 Salt Lake Tribune. The reporter stated that McClellan informed him of the exact place where the first well-authenticated case of polygamy took place. According to the article, the marriage occurred in a barn on the haymow and was witnessed by Mrs. Smith through a crack in the door.
Now, can you imagine being Emma Smith and seeing what your husband's doing with this young girl? Now, she worked in the Smith home. And as a result of all this, Emma kicked her out of the house. She wanted to get Fanny as far away from her husband as possible. Emma was never really a fan of plural marriage. The only time she seems to acquiesce at all is when Joseph Smith tried to convince her that it was really more in spiritual terms and nothing physical.
And yet the standard of truth says what Emma knew about the marriage is also uncertain. I'm not sure that's quite accurate.
It's a little bit misleading, to say the least. I want to mention this statement made by M. Russell Ballard, a Mormon apostle, in a talk that he gave called Beware of False Prophets and Teachers. This is a message that he gave in General Conference in October of 1999. You can find this in the November Ensign, 1999, on page 64. This is what M. Russell Ballard taught. He said, "False prophets and false teachers are also those who attempt to change the God-given and scripturally based doctrines that protect the sanctity of marriage, the divine nature of the family, and the essential doctrine of personal morality. They advocate a redefinition of morality to justify fornication, adultery, and homosexual relationships." Now, we're not accusing Joseph Smith of having homosexual relationships, but certainly what went on between him and Fanny Alger certainly would fall under the classification of fornication or adultery, unless, as a false prophet, you could convince your followers that you were in fact a prophet of God, and this is God giving those kind of instructions. Doesn't it seem that Joseph Smith falls perfectly within this category that M. Russell Ballard gave in his talk, Beware of False Prophets and Teachers?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.